What would you do if you weren't afraid? In fact, what would you do if you weren't afraid of dying? What would you do if you weren't afraid of losing everything? You weren't afraid, whatever it might be. And there could be other emotions as well. What might a young man do if he wasn't concerned about rejection when he was at the party? He might ask every girl that he thought was pretty at the party to dance. Whatever it might be. I'll share with you a very simple thing I do when I work with people in spiritual direction. And when I work with them, especially with young people, and helping them to discern their mission and vocation, I do something very simple. First, we start by identifying fears and anxieties. Every attachment that keeps them from recognizing the still presence of the Lord, that keeps them from what St. Ignatius of Loyola would call spiritual freedom, and St. John of the Cross would call spiritual detachment. Because what happens is through our ongoing efforts, our ongoing conversion, when the disorder of sin is cleared away, when we let go of fears, when we let go of anxieties, and every disordered pattern of thinking, feeling, and desiring, and we connect with the still presence of the Lord, it is then that we're able to make better decisions, that we're able to know what it is that we are called to do by God. But unfortunately, there are often so many attachments that prevent people from doing what they are called to do. Once I was counseling a young woman. She was going off to college. She was on a break back from college. And I don't know what she ever did, because I haven't followed up with her since then. But in that conversation, this was my last assignment, she said, "Father, I'm only going to confession, I'm only going to college because my parents want me to." And I asked her, "Well, what would you do if it wasn't for your parents or for those other things?" She's like, "I really like knitting and doing home crafts. I just kind of want to be a stay-at-home mom and maybe do some arts and crafts on the side." So I don't know if she ever went with that, but in the course of that conversation, I tried to help her connect with what her deepest desires were. That's what Jesus is getting at in several passages, one in today's gospel, and we hear in the other passages as well, with this idea of spiritual freedom. He says, "He who hates his life in this world preserves it. He who loves his life in this world loses it." Jesus has a particular style that's often missed sometimes in the United States and in Western cultures, because we're not in connection with the Middle East as much. If you know anybody from the Middle East, and forgive me if this is stereotyping, if anything like that, but there is this tendency among Jews in the Middle East and other Middle Easters, Lebanese, we have a lot of friends who are Lebanese. It's called hyperbole, which is a kind of exaggeration, which we actually see often in the Gospels. Jesus uses this style often. There's one that we all recognize as hyperbole, and we all recognize it as an exaggeration. If your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Okay, all of us here have two hands, or we didn't cut our hands off, we didn't pluck our eyes out. So we recognize that's a hyperbole. Well, this is typical in Middle Eastern cultures, and Jesus is doing that, where he's saying, if you hate your life in this world, he's not suggesting that you go around beating yourself up, that you have bad self-esteem, or that you get violently angry when the idea of living a long life comes up. That'd be kind of weird. That's not what Jesus is saying. But he's using hyperbole to come at a deeper truth. He also says elsewhere, you must hate your father and your mother. You know, so often, attachments to family can keep us from doing our mission and our vocation, keep us from discerning the will of God. How often do parents cling to their children? "You got to live really close to me. You can't go off and be in the army. You might get hurt. You can't go off to another country. You might get hurt." Now, of course, we want to protect our children, but on the same hand, attachments, disordered emotions, these are the work of the enemy. We want spiritual freedom, because hypothetically, we should all have the desire that if our kid was called to be a martyr in a foreign country or even in our own country, we would have the spiritual freedom to say, "Yes, Father, I give you my child for the sake of the mission, for the sake of your glory." We see, though, that this path of spiritual freedom, it's not so simple. We shouldn't beat ourselves up. We're always going to have struggles. We're always going to have attachments to overcome. In fact, Jesus' whole mission that we hear in the gospel, he himself experienced the fear of death. We hear it in today's gospel. We also hear it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus is able to look past the fear and discover the Father's will. He says, let it be done unto me according, well, that's the Blessed Virgin Mary, but thy will be done. Our Lord says the same fiat as the Blessed Virgin Mary. He says, thy will be done. Are we able to do the same? To look past our fear, to look past every attachment and say, Lord, thy will be done. And here's the paradoxical thing. If we surrender that, if we surrender, we let go of our fear, we let go of our anxiety, we let go of everything that keeps us, even though we may lose everything, even if we should lose our lives, we're going to be happy for all eternity. And in this world, even if we suffer, even if we struggle, even if we lose family members, we lose whatever it might be, we will still discover a happiness as we enter into the heart and have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, a happiness that the things of this world cannot take away. So as we hear in the gospel, let us die to self. Let us let go of everything that keeps us from doing the Father's will. Amen.